Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's May the 16th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. In agricultural news, President Bush has laid out a temporary worker program that could benefit some in agriculture, and there's a new plan to further ramp up ethanol production all the way to 60 billion gallons annually. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau and from the statisticians in the state offices of NASS. They'll update us on crop progress and conditions across the Midwest. Just after the bottom of the hour, by the way, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for the whole half hour. It's the Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit finished like this. The July contract at 403.5, up 4 cents, and the September's at 415.5, were up 3.75. Kansas hard red winter wheat finished 5.5 cents higher on the July contract at $4.85.75. Back in Chicago, the corn pit July contract at 259 settlement price, corn up a penny for the nearby. September at 270 even, down a half, and July and December futures were down 3/4 at 283. The March contract at 292.5, down 3/4. Let me correct that, July. Not up a penny, but down a penny in the lead option July at $2.59 for the corn. Soy complex now. July soybean 602.75, down a penny and 3/4. August at 609.25, down 1.5. And September's 2.25, lower at 613.75. November beans at 624.75, down a penny as well. Bean meal futures finished lower at 120 at 176.20, and they were off a buck 20. Bean oil futures July contract 25.71. They were up 22 for the day, and the feeder cattle finished 80 cents higher in the nearby May contract at $103.85. Live cattle June futures 77.65 were off 20 cents, and June lean hogs up 77.5 cents at 67.37.5 for the day. The outside markets very quickly. Crude oil at $69.50. They're up 9 cents at this hour. CRB index at 353.1, up 1.04, and the dollar at 84.19. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,432, and Zip is up 4 points at the hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Very quiet day, actually, at the Chicago Board of Trade, given the recent action, wasn't it?
Compared to Friday and yesterday, very quiet, Todd. You know, the funds, if we take into Friday, had bought a total of 52,000 corn and about 31,000 contracts of wheat since Friday. And you take into effect of what they did today, very quiet day in comparison, you know, so it's just, like I say, a lot of quietness going on. But it was the third day of fun buying, though, so, you know, will things start to slow down tomorrow on that?
And then if you take a look at the wheat market, that's really the only place where we had gains. Is that still continuation of a tough wheat crop out west and especially down in the southwest?
You know, it's a combination of the really poor conditions, the lower estimates for next year, the Goldman Sachs forecast Chicago wheat could, you know, be up another 20 cents here after the information on that, but they're also saying corn go to 332. So it's they're saying that these numbers are, you know, they're very tight and things are tight as far as the corn and the wheat market are concerned. We really don't have a tight supply as far as old crop corn for this year. It's our projection for a year from now out there that's where we'll get a tight, Todd.
Speaking of corn, corn planting wrapped up in your area, and how about the beans?
No, we're not wrapped up. We've got a lot of it done, but we're probably about like the Indiana and the crop planning forecast said, we're probably in the 75% done from here east. East of us more is a little bit farther behind. They had a little more moisture early and didn't get quite as much corn planted. So we could sure use 3 or 4 days of warm, dry weather and a little of breeze and get those corn planters rolling again, finish up the corn and the beans.
I bet your guys are getting worried.
We know that we can get it in fast. We can just get 3 or 4 days and able to get out to the field. So after next week, though, if we don't see signs of some dry weather, then why it'll start to get rather worrisome.
Yeah, were they taking advantage of the downtime to move corn out of the bins?
No, we haven't seen hardly any corn movement or anything over here as far as cash corn right now.
Anything else to add on the livestock before I let you go?
Well, the livestock, of course, we'll have the cattle on feed report coming up. The average guesses on feed be 108.5, 97.8 placed, and 99.5 marketed. The cattle, basically no bids or offers hardly today or very wide apart as far as the cash went.
We appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thank you, Todd.
And that is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons. At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. The forecast for the two-state region from J. Searles tonight calls for mostly cloudy skies, some showers and thunderstorms dissipating by midnight. Lows, he says, will range from 44 in northern Illinois to the mid-50s in southwestern Illinois. And tomorrow, Jay says, patches of clouds, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs will range from 60 in northern Indiana to 75 in southwestern Illinois. Dave Dickey's here now with today's news.
In agricultural news, President Bush spoke to the nation on immigration Monday night, rolling out a 5-point strategy for immigration reform. Security is a centerpiece of the president's approach. He's deploying up to 6,000 National Guard troops to support Border Patrol officers on the border with Mexico, and calling for an additional $1.9 billion in funding for border security. President Bush also repeated his opposition to blanket amnesty for the 11 to 12 million undocumented immigrants already living and working in the U.S. President Bush called for a temporary worker program.
This program would match willing foreign workers with willing American employers for jobs Americans are not doing. Every worker who applies for the program would be required to pass criminal background checks. And temporary workers must return to their home country at the conclusion of their stay. A temporary worker program would meet the needs of our economy, and it would give honest immigrants a way to provide for their families while respecting the law.
The president said illegal immigrants who had been living and working in the U.S. for an unspecified number of years should be allowed to stay if they pay a fine, pay their back taxes, and go to the back of the line for citizenship. House Majority Leader John Boehner said Monday he will not push legislation to lift the 54-cent per gallon tariff on ethanol imports. A Boehner spokesperson said the majority leader still thinks it's a good idea, but knows the votes are not available to push it through the House. The American Coalition for Ethanol Monday unveiled a plan its leaders say will be included in a U.S. Senate proposal to ramp up ethanol production, shooting for long-term annual domestic production of 60 billion gallons. ACE Executive Vice President Brian Jennings.
Our plan really tries to capture increasing the production, distribution, and end use of ethanol. And there are three key elements that I want to just visit with you about. First of all, an ambitious but sensible expansion of the existing renewable fuel standard program and then developing a new RFS for cellulose. Two, longer-term extension of tax credits for ethanol production and use. And finally, third, some innovative incentives and strategies and mandates to guarantee more flexible fuel vehicles on the road and more places where you can fill up on E85.
Near term, the plan calls for extending the 2005 Energy Act's renewable fuel standard of 7.5 billion gallons produced by 2012 to 12 billion gallons, with at least 10.5 billion gallons made from grain. The European Union trade chief on Monday in Manila continued to urge Washington to make deeper cuts in farm subsidies to ensure that stalled global trade talks can be successfully concluded this year. Peter Mandelson also warned that chances of forging a global trade deal would be lost if the World Trade Organization's 149 members failed to reach a deal this year. Vietnam and the U.S. reached an agreement removing a major barrier to the Asian country's ability to join the WTO later this year. The formal signing of the agreement between one-time enemies will take place in the near future, that according to U.S. officials. The deal is a precondition for WTO entry. The National Pork Producers Council is trumpeting the deal. President Joy Philippi.
It's going to be one of the better agreements that we put together. And in fact, as they move into the WTO and become members there, we're going to see duty rates of 15% or lower. And that's just one of the lowest rates that we do have in place. And that being because Rob Portman at USDR and Secretary Johans worked so hard to get this put in place.
The agreement will lower Vietnamese tariffs on U.S. industrial and farm products and remove non-tariff barriers, limits on trade beyond traditional tariffs and import quotas that block U.S. service industry providers from working in Vietnam. The U.S. is Vietnam's top trading partner. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. In today's Listener Opinion Forum, Champaign County Farm Bureau's Amy Murray tells us why the wealth of Champaign County lies in its soils.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look in central Illinois, you see tractors in the field planting corn and soybeans. Why is so much of our ground producing these crops? This is largely due to the extremely fertile soils that we are lucky to have and the adaptability of both corn and soybeans to our climate and the length of our growing season. There are 12 major different soil orders in the world that are used in classification. The soil in Champaign County is classified as a mollisol or a prairie soil. Only four regions in the world are fortunate enough to contain this soil order, and in our area of the United States, we happen to be one of them. Soils are a collection of natural bodies which occupy portions of the earth's surface and support plants. Its properties are due to the effects of climate and organisms acting upon parent material and are conditioned by relief over periods of time. After the last glacial period ended, a quirk of nature allowed the woodland vegetation that existed on our land to die out, which made way for the prairie grass to cover our ground in east central Illinois. The prairie grass deposited large amounts of organic matter into the soil. This is extremely beneficial when producing crops. An ideal soil is composed of 25% air, 25% water, 5% organic matter, and 45% mineral matter. The composition of the soil in east central Illinois allows more nutrients to filter through and maximizes more pore space to hold air and water. The soil in our area also is soft, which allows roots to easily ground themselves. The soil properties, amount of rainfall, land structure, and growing degree days in east central Illinois are superior to any others for producing corn and soybeans. Only 1/32nd of our earth's surface is made up of tillable land, and it takes about 500 years to develop only 1 inch of topsoil. It is rare and extremely fortunate to have the soil conditions that we do in east central Illinois. This is why Champaign County and all of east central Illinois is working to provide agricultural products to consumers all over the world. So next time you see a tractor in the field, rest assured that your food is being produced among the best soils in the world from your own backyard. For the Champaign County Farm Bureau, I'm Amy Murray.
Amy Murray's comments are her own and they reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, call us at 217-333-0850.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580, WILL. Well, USDA's crop progress report from yesterday afternoon showed 85% of the nation's corn crop is in the ground and that 44% of it has emerged. Both of those numbers are ahead of the five-year rolling average. Soybean planting is lagging just a bit from last year by about 10 points, and it's 2 points behind the five-year rolling average at 33% complete. 9% of the bean crop is up, and that's pretty close to being on par with last year and the five-year average. 62% of the winter wheat crop has headed, and 38% of that crop is evenly split in the bottom two categories of poor to very poor condition. That's the same as last week. Now, here are the reports from Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa, Indiana, and Illinois.
This is Brad Schwab, director with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending May 14th. Cool, damp weather moved into the state by midweek and hampered planting progress and growing conditions. The weather also kept farmers out of the fields the latter part of the week, as there were only 2.6 days suitable for field work. Statewide, the average temperature was almost 7 degrees below normal, while the precipitation was almost a quarter of an inch above normal. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 5% short, 69% adequate, and 26% surplus, which compares to only 12% in the surplus category last week, an increase of 14 percentage points. Corn has reached 95% planted, with last week's weather delaying the completion of corn planting. Corn emergence is at 71%, compared to 75% 1 year ago and 63% for the five-year average. Corn seems to be germinating well, but the corn that has emerged is growing very slowly due to the weather conditions. The planting of soybeans continues behind schedule with 31% planted, compared to 66% 1 year ago and 43% for the five-year average. Emergence of the soybeans has been slow, as only 3% of the crop has emerged, compared to 13% 1 year ago and 12% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in soybean plantings was the West District at 56% complete. Wheat continues to progress ahead of average, with 85% headed and 26% of those heads filled. Very little progress was made last week in the first cutting of alfalfa and red clover due to wet conditions. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of Indiana Agricultural Statistics for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending May 14th. Persistent rain showers and saturated fields halted planting progress and field work over most of the state. Farmers made rapid progress planting corn and soybeans early in the week, trying to beat the rains that arrived on Wednesday. Cool temperatures combined with wet or crusted soil slowed some crop emergence and growth. Producers reported replanting of some fields may be necessary. Topsoil was rated 0% very short, 0% short, 41% adequate, and 59% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 0% very short, 3% short, 74% adequate, and 23% surplus. Precipitation averaged from a low of 0.82 to a high of 3.17 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 78 to a low of 37 degrees. For the week ending Friday, 2.7 days were rated as suitable for field work. Corn planting progress made good headway in Indiana with 74% complete as we ended the week, ahead of the average of 70% but still behind 87% at this time last year. By regions of the state, 82% of the intended corn acreage was planted in northern Indiana, with 77% planted in the central region and 55% planted in southern Indiana. 38% of the planted corn acreage has emerged, compared with 47% for last year and 46% for the five-year average. Planting of soybeans for the week also made good progress but remains slightly behind the average pace, with 32% of the soybean acreage planted, compared with 54% for last year and 44% for the five-year average. Soybeans emerged averaged 6%, compared with 11% last year and 16% for the five-year average. 46% of the winter wheat is headed, compared with 39% last year and 48% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition for the week was rated at 83%, good to excellent, compared with 68% last year at this time. Thanks to all the reporters across Indiana, we provide this information each week. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
This is Brad Parks, statistician with USDA National Ag Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending May 14, 2006. Warmer and less windy conditions are common desires for farmers across the state after another week of cool, damp weather. Nearly one quarter of Iowa's soybean acreage was planted last week, in spite of only 3.6 days suitable for field work, compared to 2.5 days last year at this time. Northwest and central Iowa each saw at least 30% of the soybean acreage planted during the past week. Topsoil moisture rated 5% short, 80% adequate, and 15% surplus across the state. Subsoil moisture rated 2% very short, 15% short, 71% adequate, and 12% surplus. Corn planted reached 92%, 3 percentage points lower than last year's 95%, but 8 percentage points ahead of the five-year average of 84%. Statewide, corn emerged averaged 42%, 5% ahead of both last year and the five-year average. Although corn emergence is ahead of both last year and normal, many farmers have been concerned with slow growth due to cool, wet conditions. Soybeans planted increased to 41% last week, just behind last year's 42%, but ahead of the five-year average of 35%. This has been Brad Parks with the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office with your weekly crop weather. Thank you.
This is Mark Harris reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather summary for the week ending May 14, 2006. Dry conditions across much of the state allowed spring planting to advance rapidly. The lack of moisture was forcing some producers to run pivots to germinate crops. Portions of the Southwest District have received less than 2 inches of moisture since the 1st of January. Corn planting had another productive week and was 89% complete. This is near last year's 87% and ahead of the five-year average at 80%. Soybean planting had a good week and was at 32% complete. This is near last year's when 33% had been planted, but ahead of the average at 28%. Wheat conditions dropped during the week and are now rated as 36% good or excellent. Wheat jointed was at 79%. Alfalfa conditions rated at 72% good or excellent. Sorghum planting was 13% complete. This is near last year's 14% and the average at 11%. Sugar beet planting was at 97% complete, behind last year at 98%. Producers were replanting some sugar beets due to frost damage. Pasture and range conditions rated 54% good or excellent, near last year's conditions. This has been Mark Harris, Director of USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending May 14, 2006. Wet conditions across most of the state continue to delay planting. However, this past week, there were 3.2 days suitable for field work, which allowed some producers to continue planting. Warmer temperatures and drier conditions are needed to allow producers to complete this spring's planting. The average temperature for the week was 51.8 degrees, 2.9 degrees below normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday, May 12th, were rated 1% short, 61% adequate, and 38% surplus. As of Sunday, 76% of the corn had been planted, 11 percentage points behind last year, and 2 points behind the five-year average. Soybeans planted were 21% complete, 5 points behind last year, and 12 points behind the average. Spring wheat planting progressed 24 percentage points from last week to 73% complete. That is 18 points behind last year, but 2 points ahead of the 5-year average. Oats planted were 91% complete, 4 percentage points behind last year, but 8 points ahead of the 5-year average. Pastures, alfalfa, oats conditions improved from last week, with each being rated with 83% or more of the crop being in the good to excellent categories. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending May 14, 2006. I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your regional newscast is next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Champaign's Francis Nelson Health Center hopes to move into its larger quarters by November. Carle Foundation Hospital bought the old Leith Furniture space at the Pioneer Plaza Shopping Center and gave it to the health clinic. Now, Francis Nelson Health Center has launched a $1 million fundraising campaign to renovate the space. Officials say the larger space will double the number of patients the health clinic can serve, taking pressure off of other health care facilities serving low-income people. Illinois Congressman Tim Johnson says ensuring the security of U.S. borders is a top priority. In response to comments made by President Bush last night, the Urbana Republican says Congress should provide all the support necessary to increase the number of border guards along the U.S.-Mexican border. Johnson says it's also reasonable to use 6,000 National Guard troops on a temporary basis until the border guards are in place. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels says the state is talking to Honda about a big investment in the southeastern part of Indiana. Some residents in Decatur and Ripley counties have been contacted by an unnamed company about selling their land. A Japanese newspaper reports Honda plans a new automobile factory somewhere in North America. The new bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Joliet says he's looking forward to learning about the people and history of the diocese. Monsignor James Peter Sarton was introduced today as the leader of the diocese's 620,000 Catholics. The Diocese of Joliet stretches to east-central Illinois, including Catholics in Kankakee, Iroquois, and Ford counties. A one-time boost from last year's sale of its healthcare operation has resulted in a 23% increase in second-quarter earnings for Moline-based Deere & Company. Deere today also reports that revenue edged up 2% to $6.5 billion. An oil painting by Indiana rocker John Mellencamp will highlight an art fair and fundraiser at the Tibetan Cultural Center near Bloomington, Indiana. Prints of the painting will be sold at a silent auction. Mellencamp's wife, Elaine Irwin Mellencamp, serves on the center's board. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. This is WILL AM 580. We're joined on this Tuesday afternoon by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast across the Midwest and around the globe. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of sunshine here in the Midwest in Champaign-Urbana at the moment, but I think there's rainfall not too terribly far away.
Yeah, in fact, you look at radar across Indiana, Illinois, it is starting to light up a little bit. Showers and thunderstorms are going to be developing throughout the afternoon hours and through tonight and through tomorrow and probably through Thursday. It'll be cooler than normal. Showers are going to be a good bet before we slowly begin a warming trend and a little bit of a drier pattern as we head towards the weekend.
Oh, there will be some farmers that will be glad to get back into the field and get some soybeans planted and maybe wrap up corn planting.
Yeah, it's going to be slow, though. Need to exercise some patience. We're in a log jam right now. That storm that's causing all the problems up in New England and the northeast United States is slowly, ever slowly moving. In fact, you could argue that it's stalling right now, and it's going to take a good 4 to 7 days to completely get that thing out of there. And that's when we'll start to see the warmer, drier weather settle in. There's a lot of warm air building out west. So once the system moves off, we'll get warmer and drier weather in here. But it's a solid 3 or 4 days before we really have the pattern that can get things drier.
Yeah, drier, but how wet are we going to be before then?
Well, the rainfall does not look excessive, but there could easily be half inch to an inch, maybe more amounts of rainfall here over the next 72 hours.
And then tell me about the western part of the Corn Belt, Nebraska, parts of Iowa in the southern and southeastern portions of that state. Have they been fairly dry?
They have, and the pattern is setting up in such a way that east of the Mississippi and Missouri rivers, the precipitation's good. West of there, right along that line and points west, it's been a lot drier and warmer than normal. So we're actually not far from the edge of the drier, warmer weather, but those areas, unfortunately, look to continue to be dry. The pattern, at least for the other 7 days or so, is going to be dry in the western Corn Belt areas.
Any developing hot spots around the globe we need to keep tabs on?
Well, we'll need to watch those western areas, number one. Also, it's been dry in some portions of western Europe. They're going to get some relief. England, those northern, northwestern European nations are going to see some good moisture. Looks like good moisture near normal precipitation and temperatures for Russia as well. Going to keep an eye on China. They've got a typhoon on the southeast coast, and they're going to see some increasing moisture in the southern and eastern areas there.
Don, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons. Be sure to pick up everything that you hear on the radio station here in terms of ag programming, or most of it, off our website. If you miss something and you really want to hear it again, you can. It's right there at WILLAG.org. You can subscribe to our ag newsletter. You can subscribe to the podcast. In fact, if you'd like to have things delivered directly to your computer via podcast, probably using iTunes, but there are other RSS readers available if you'd like to take a look at those. That's all on our website at WILLAG.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason for Dave Dickey.